This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to the Evening Edition. I'm Kelvin Yee. At 18, you're legally considered an adult. You can drive, you can get married, you have to pay income tax if you work, and you're tried in court as an adult. The one thing you can't do, though, is vote. Of late, there's been calls to reduce the minimum voting age from 21 to 18. One organisation leading that effort is Undi 18. I'm speaking today to Thamalingam Pillay, the director of Undi 18, to talk about the organisation's efforts. Thamalingam, why are you championing this cause?
For me, it's two major reasons. One is, I think this is a human rights issue. Right now, there is a clear double standard that happens with our laws where adults are not allowed to vote. Right now, we have about 1.5 million Malaysian citizens who are full-fledged adults, which means that you are adult in every responsibility of the law. You will be tried as an adult. You will have to pay taxes as an adult. You can work as an adult. You get married as an adult. Yet, you're not able to choose your representative. You're not able to choose your government as an adult. So I think that double standard is a human rights issue. Second is, I genuinely think that it will be able to improve and empower our democracy. The reality is that a lot of young people have been disenfranchised and they felt left out from the political discussion because a lot of the power or a lot of the strength of lobbying for government policies lies in these groups that are not based on what youth need, but based on what certain communities need. And when that happens, it means that a lot of youth lose out in terms of policies regarding unemployment, regarding education, regarding housing, all kind of things that youth need. So I think that by reducing the voting age, it will enable youth to become a more effective voting bloc and therefore make democracy a better deal for young people in general in Malaysia. So I think that's why Undi 18 is needed.
Right. And when you mention that the youth is disenfranchised, I imagine that what you're saying is possibly that if the voting age is reduced to 18, that means then politicians would have to start courting the younger age group to make sure that their voices are heard and to make sure that their votes are going the right way. Is that something you see happening, that if, let's say, the voting age is reduced to 18, that politicians will start actively thinking about what youth issues are? I mean, sure, now there's a lot of focus on TN50 and stuff, but would it be better focused if, let's say, the voting age dropped to 18?
Okay, I just want to point out that, as I mentioned earlier, it's not just a few thousand people who are affected by this. It's 1.5 million Malaysian citizens who are in this age group who are affected by this voting rules. So, and that is a huge amount of citizens that can easily flip or change any election, flip or change any seat. So politicians will pay attention when you have this kind of increase or influx of young voters. That's one. And second thing I want to talk about is perhaps the culture of democracy in Malaysia itself, because I do think there's an issue of democratic lag, whereby people start realizing their responsibilities or their role as a voter very, very late. Like, for example, myself, I am 24 years old right now. This will be my first time voting. We're expecting the PRU to be early next year, so I'll be about 25 years old. So that will be my first time voting at 25 years old. And if I wasn't already politically knowledgeable, I wasn't already participating in other activist movements or other activist organizations, I would not be able to have the right environment to learn about politics. And that's the reality for millions of Malaysians. Their realization about politics happens in the office or when they have a family where they aren't able to learn about politics in a proper manner. So instead, by reducing the voting age, you make universities a place to have a holistic education, which involves you learning about the political sphere, learning about your responsibilities, learning about policies, where you can have good debates with your fellow students. And that's what a university is supposed to be. So I think by reducing the voting age and making universities a real place to have a holistic educational experience, which includes political knowledge, you create a new generation of Malaysian youth or Malaysian citizens who are more knowledgeable and more active in the political sphere right out of university. And that's something that will improve Malaysian democracy in the long run, and politicians will have to pay attention.
Right. And I'm guessing universities aren't the only places that need to do this, because if, let's say, the election is on the year that someone turns 18 and the voting age is 18, that means that high schools likely have to be quite essential to civic education and political education as well. Is that what you're thinking needs to happen?
I do think that our education syllabus, especially for high school now, that needs to be improved to learn more about the world instead of just things that that might be very theoretical. There is a need to learn about financial knowledge and political knowledge and all that. But for me, fundamentally, I think that voting is not incredibly complicated. People vote for very simple reasons. People vote because they like a politician. They vote because certain politicians promise to build them a bridge in their village. People vote because they don't like certain policies on the other side. So there's a lot of very simplistic reasons that people vote. So even if we don't necessarily have a complete transformation of the high school education system, it does not necessarily mean that as an adult at 18 years old, you're not able to make a legitimate voting decision. That goes across any age group because different people vote for different reasons. But I'm saying that, one, you don't necessarily have to have a complete transformation at the high school level, but we can still have a mindset transformation or a cultural transformation within universities naturally. And that will result from making more people voters and make them feel that they are responsible for knowing more about how the country works.
Do you think that there's a very strong reason also to lower the voting age? Because at the end of the day, it seems like the youths will be the one facing the ever-growing challenges of the future. You know, we'll be the next generation that will be dealing with the severe impacts of climate change, and we'll also be kind of servicing the debt that's used to pay pensions and healthcare. Is that a very strong reason for our votes to matter as well? Because we'll be likely dealing with those consequences.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. People tend to forget that whatever government deficit that we take in, it's the youth of the future that will have to pay for it. If you look at Barisan Nasional versus Pakatan Harapan, like, what struck me as really, really funny was that they were comparing, or they were like proud that, oh, I had less of a deficit spending compared to you. But the target should be no deficit spending. So all these kind of things has to be taken into account, because the reality is that it's the young people of tomorrow that will be paying the price for the decisions that we make today, whether regarding climate change, whether regarding our fiscal budget, whether it's regarding our economic policies. So they do deserve a voice, and they do deserve a say in determining how is it that their lives will be impacted in the long run. I think that's only fair.
You mentioned that you had a political lag of being only informed, you know, by the age of 24 and 25-ish. So do you think if we lower the voting age, is that likely to create a habit where they actually do start voting younger, and then they do start thinking about voting younger as well? But there's also this contrast where now the voting age is at 21, but we still see a lot of young adults not even thinking about voting or protesting by not voting, for example.
Right. So as I mentioned earlier, because if we reduce the voting age, which means that the moment people get into university, let's say it's an election year right now, so an 18-year-old kid, a 19-year-old kid in university will be thinking, hey, I'm a voter, which means that I have to be more educated about voting. So maybe it's time to join organizations that discuss political issues, that debate about economics, talk about climate change policies. Even the MPPs within universities can play a role to get people to register as voters and all that. And that element in our universities is severely missing. So to answer that first part of your question, I do think that it will significantly be increased. And that's the real difference between 21 versus 18 years old. 18 years old covers a lot more ground in terms of university culture, while 21 doesn't really touch that much. The second part is regarding voters who choose not to vote or choose to protest vote, or they choose to spoil their votes as a form of protest. In any country or in any developed democracy, there is always those kind of people, those people who are angry at both sides. They don't feel themselves to be represented. They feel that politicians are not making the right policies for them, for young people like them. So I think to fix this problem, again, by reducing the voting age, by increasing the number of young voters by 1.5 million young voters, it means that politicians will have to pay attention to this angry youth, will have to pay attention to this large block of youth who are demanding pro-youth policies. So theoretically, it will solve this problem, or it will at least minimize the number of people who want to protest vote or want to spoil their votes. So I think that's a good thing.
What often comes up in this discussion is whether 18-year-olds are mature enough. Thamalingam gives us his take after the news. You're listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha! BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to the Evening Edition. I'm Kelvin Yee. If you've just joined us, we're talking about the voting age today with Tharmalingam Pillay from Undi 18. He advocates for reducing the minimum voting age from 21 to 18. Tharmalingam, when this discussion comes up, a lot of people usually argue that 18-year-olds are just not mature enough. What is your response to that?
I think that those arguments come from a very privileged bubble. It means that you have been living your entire life in a very urban setting. You've been in universities. You haven't been able to meet people who are in kampongs, in rural environments, even the urban poor, where they don't go to universities. Many of them, they start working at 16, 17 years old. Some of them already have families at 18 years old. They are supporting their wife and kids, even at that very young age. So to say that young people at that age are not mature enough, one just speaks of privilege and speaks of being in a certain urban bubble. The second thing is that maturity, especially political maturity, is not dependent on age. It's very much dependent on your ability to read, your ability to access information. And the reality is that when you compare older and younger people, because of the internet, yes, older people might have years of experience or years to accumulate knowledge. But with the internet, with social media, with a lot of platforms that enable discussions to happen, that access to knowledge is not something that you need years to grow and learn from slowly, bit by bit. It's something that you can readily access, you can easily read from. And that's a huge game changer in terms of creating political maturity. Because let's face it, maturity in our general terms or what adulthood means is a completely different discussion from political maturity. And that's really what matters.
And you mentioned that you've met people who were working already at 16, 17, and 18. I imagine that at that age, when they start paying taxes, when they start financing some of the country's initiatives and you know, infrastructure in that sense via taxes, I imagine it's actually time for them to have a voice as well, right?
Yep, exactly. That's why I stick to a very simple concept. If you're an adult, according to the Malaysian government, according to Malaysian laws, then you deserve the full rights of an adulthood. When our constitution was written, the age of adulthood was 21 years old. So at 21 years old, you had all the rights and responsibilities of being a full-fledged adult. But over time, we reduced our age of adulthood to follow the Americans, to follow the rest of the world, to 18 years old. But for political reasons or for sake of convenience, or I'm not too sure, I don't want to speculate what was the reason, we did not reduce our voting age from 21 to 18 years old to follow our change in our evolution in culture, basically. So I think that it's time for it to happen.
You run this Undi 18 thing, and then I'm assuming you've also probably spoken to people who are under the age of 21 who are likely part of the voter base you are trying to appeal to sign up for these things. So I'm curious what their response has been like to the idea of reducing the voting age to 18.
I would say that the response I've gotten is probably a bit mixed. From my experience, a lot of young people are very gung-ho about reducing the voting age. They believe that, yes, they are already adults, and therefore they should have the full rights and responsibilities of adulthood, which includes the right to vote. But there are also quite a number, I would say, of young Malaysians who believe that, they probably don't know enough about voting. They probably don't know enough about the country, because from my conversations with them, I feel that they have this perception that voting is an extremely complex thing, where people vote for very, very complex reasons. Like, you have to figure out what the TPP is all about. You have to figure out whether GST is something that's economically feasible compared to SST, all this kind of like really fancy economic stuff, when reality, most voters vote for very simplistic reasons. So I think that's one of the mentalities that's holding back a certain segment of the youth, this perception that voting is extremely complex. And at 21, you magically are able to know and you're able to figure out the right decisions. So I would say it's a mixed bag. Yep.
I'm also curious now, because it seems like what I'm seeing, the trend is that Malaysia actually needs to catch up quite seriously, because in Southeast Asia, in Thailand, in Philippines and Indonesia, the voting age is 18, and some other countries are debating whether they should lower the voting age to 16 even. I think it's Scotland, for example, the voting age is now 16. For you, how how young is too young? Or maybe the more appropriate question to ask is, right now you're championing for reducing the voting age to 18, but would you see that someday you would be maybe championing for reducing the voting age to 16, for example?
I understand that there are some people who champion reducing the voting age to 16. But for me, personally, I'm supporting only 18 for a very simple idea that every legal adult should have the right to vote. So if in a certain country you are a legal adult based on your criminal liabilities, based on your ability to work, based on your ability to get married, based on a lot of rights and responsibilities, including the right to go and fight and die for your country in the military. So as long as the country decides, okay, 18 years old is how we define adulthood, so I think 18 should be also the age for voting. I do not agree if we were to reduce it to 16, yet the rights and responsibilities generally remain at 18. So I think that that's a problem over there. So what I'm fighting for is basically to be consistent in terms of our lawmaking, to be consistent in terms of our distribution and our granting of human rights. So each adult should have the right to vote.
Have you seen any support for your ideas from the youth wings of political parties?
Yes, actually. Especially from the opposition side, there is quite a lot of enthusiastic support to reduce the voting age. We had support from some members within Armada. PKR Youth put out a statement supporting us. We had a few DP youth people who were also supporting us. In terms of having the youth wings of political parties, we do have quite a decent number on the opposition side. However, on the government side, it's a bit more difficult because for them, young people do tend to vote opposition. So it is sort of a quandary for them where they might be okay with that personally, but in terms of politically supporting it, it might be a problem for them. So yeah, I understand why it's a bit more difficult for government or like a BN youth wing versus an opposition youth wing.
So what's next for this movement then?
So right now we are trying to register ourselves as an NGO. So we want to get more funding. And our next step is to become more active in terms of educating people about their rights, educating people about their needs. Because right now we are only able to reach young people within urban areas, especially those who are active on Twitter, active on Facebook. And I think that's not enough. We need to reach out to the rural youth. We need to reach out to youth who might not be on Facebook a lot, or they might not be listening to all this kind of political channels. We need to have the ability to reach out to them, to figure out what they need, what they want, and to inspire them to fight for their rights and to plant that idea where they too deserve the right to vote and they too deserve the right to choose the government of the day. So to do that, it's a work in progress. And for me, I'm excited to work on this project, and hopefully we'll manage to change the constitution and reduce the voting age.
That was Tamalinga Pillay, director of Undi 18. If you've missed any part of this show, you can download the podcast from our BFM app. It's available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. You're listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.